The next kina we're going to do is kina Yod Aleph. Kina Yod Aleph, we're always careful to do every year. It's Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yishayahu. It's the hesped that Yirmiyahu has over Yoshiyahu HaMelech. There's something interesting about the way that Yoshio's death is described in the Kina. Just to understand a little bit of the history, Yoshio HaMelech died as torturous and painful a death as you could imagine. He was a tzaddik, and the circumstances of his death were a mistaken calculation. Paru Necho was coming to the north of Eretz Yisrael to attack Assyria, and he sent a message to Yoshiyahu that he wanted to, you know, passage through Eretz Yisrael on his way to his war with Ashur, because Ashur was in the north and he wanted to get through Eretz Yisrael. That was the easiest way for him to bring his troops. And Yoshiyahu miscalculated the people. He assumed that Klal Yisrael were tzaddikim. He thought that we had gotten rid of all Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Torah says that when we're doing the will of Hashem, no foreign army is going to travel through Eretz Yisrael for the sake of war, even if it's not to fight with us, even if it's to fight with other people. So Paro Nechal wasn't asking to fight with us, he just wanted to use Eretz Yisrael as a shortcut. But Yoshio said no, because Klal Yisrael is tzaddikim, and when we're tzaddikim, no one comes through Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of war. And the Navi Yirmiyahu gives it to Yoshiyahu HaMelech over the head, and he says that you're blind. The people are not such tzaddikim. You think that they're such tzaddikim, they're not. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. He saw no evil. And he wouldn't allow Paro Nechal to travel through. So Paro Nechal marched into Eretz Yisrael with his army, but now it wasn't a peaceful mission anymore. And they murdered Yoshiyahu HaMelech. And they pierced his body with arrows 300 times. Saduhu v'samuhu kamatara lachitzim, like the target for the arrows. Right? You ever see like a dartboard and you look closely and there are all these little holes in the dartboard? That was Yoshio's body. Vayizruku bo sholosh meil schitzim, the Kina tells us. A horrible, horrible, horrific death. But what's strange is that in Malachim Beis, Perchav Beis, L'chein inni osivcha ala vosecha v'ne'asavta al kivrosecha b'shalom. Yeshua is told that you're going to die b'shalom. That your life is being taken from you b'shalom. I don't know. He was pierced with 300 arrows. It's grotesque. It's painful. Who knows which arrow killed him? Was it number 250? How many piercings he had to suffer? Hashem promised him a peaceful death. Hashem keeps his promises. So the Gemara in Moed Katan tells us that it was considered peaceful, because he didn't have to see the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed. He didn't have to witness Chorban HaBayis. In that sense, he died b'shalom. Rabbi Glatzin points out quotes from Rav Henoch Leibowitz, that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was such a devastating tragedy that by comparison, Misas Yoshiyahu was considered to be something that was a peaceful death. But another thing that we always try to point out is that this is a kina about a person, one person. And that tells us something about the power of an individual. Because you have a single person whose existence, as long as he was alive, the Beis HaMikdash couldn't be destroyed. He didn't have to see the Chorban HaBayis, and that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeirah, that he was not going to have to see the Chorban HaBayis. Which means that one person can prevent national disaster. And a lot of times when we lose great people, we begin to realize that we didn't really maximize our experience with them and learn what we could have learned from them. So we use this day of Tisha B'Av to contemplate that and to think about the many Yechidim who maybe if we would have appreciated them would have brought us to Geula. Maybe if we would have held on to their coattails a little tighter, could have saved Klal Yisrael from more tzaros. And at the same time, we try to resolve not to repeat that mistake and to take full advantage of our current Torah leadership and allow them to accomplish on behalf of the Klal and to lead us to Geula. It's not just that we didn't take advantage. Davak ba'avon litzanei adar, asher achar adelas. The averus of the litzanei adar stuck to him. Because he died because he trusted in the people and they didn't trust in him. He assumed that they were tzaddikim. And they would hide their the leitzanim. They would hide their avodah zarah behind the door. So when his officers would come in and check the homes and see if there's any avodah zarah, they'd open the door. It's like a sitcom, right? And, you know, and oh, where is that guy? And he's hiding behind the door the whole time. Right? The avodah zarah is behind the door the entire time. And it was a leitzanis for them. And he paid the ultimate price for that. You know the type of person that they feel like they could do whatever they want, because as long as Yoshio doesn't see, as long as the rabbi doesn't see, like the grade school child who misbehaves, but the rabbi walks in the room and all of a sudden he's an angel. But some people never grow out of that. You know, why is it, and I'm sure it's not just in our shul, I'm sure it's in many, many shuls, why is it that when a rabbi is away from a shul, the reports that he hears are talking is out of control. The whole mood of davening, the whole way that people behave during davening, just like it goes way south. The Ribbono Shel Olam's here every day. So there's a certain leitzanei hadar element to it. You know, as long as I can escape the as long as I can make sure that I'm overestimated by the rabbi, because, you know, he won't see it, the Ribbono Shel Olam is always there. And this is the lesson. I mean, this is an extreme example, but the Avodah Zarahs were hidden behind the door, and Yoshiyahu assumed everyone was a tzaddik. And that's why he died. And when he died, everyone suffered. He didn't just die. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because he died. The Beis HaMikdash could not be destroyed while he was alive. It's like a real, practical, clear message for us. That we have to be erlich. We have to be erlich with ourselves. We just have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be who we are. You know, we can't just pose in front of certain people and then, become somebody else when those people aren't around. We have to be erlich with ourselves. Rabbi Reisman told my Talmidim that he was once in Simchas Torah, in Torah V'das, and he wasn't sure what the halacha is. Once you have all the Levim got Aliyos already, there are fewer Levim than Kohanim, so in Simchas Torah, if all the Levim got Aliyos already, so does a Kohen always have to get the first two when you go around again? Or can you just give Yisrael the Levi Aliyah? Because normally, if there's no, right? If there's no Levi, then a Kohen gets two. Levim are always shocked to hear that. They never heard of such a thing because they never saw it. But it actually happens. Levim, you should know, if you're not there, and the Kohen gets two Aliyahs in a row. Crazy, right? So he said that he asked Rav Pam what the halach is. Should they give Yisrael the Aliyah? And Rav Pam said to him, that he thinks there's a netziv in Meshiv Davar that has a tshuva about it, and he thinks that the netziv explains a lashon of the Bach, I think, or the Tur, where he says that there's such a thing of Yisrael b'makom Levi, that you're allowed to give Yisrael that aliyah, that you don't need to give a kohen that aliyah, and that's the circumstance. Tafkan Simchas Torah when you're going around. He thinks there's such a netziv, and it was the middle of Hakafos. And Simchas Torah and Torah V'das, and Rav Pam said, "Come, we'll go look it up." And for some reason the yeshiva didn't have a Meshiv Davar? I don't know. That sounds a little strange to me. But as he said, Rapam, it was raining outside. It was the middle of Hakafos. Rapam was Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva left the middle of Hakafos. Now, for half of the people in the room, they're like, yeah, I'd love to leave the middle of Hakafos. You know? But Rosh Yeshiva left in the middle of Hakafos. It's his yeshiva. And he walked with Rabbi Reisman in the rain to his house. It was a block or two away. And he opened up a Meshiv Davar and he looked. Oh, and on the way out, someone else said to them, the Gabbai, the longtime Gabbai in the yeshiva, said, yeah, Rabbi Yankiv already passed in the Shaila. Rabbi Yankiv said that there's a Meshiv Davar and that we could be, that you call it be Yisrael. And Rav Pam said, come, we have to go look it up. So they went, they looked it up. He went through the tshuva with him. And then on the way back, Rabbi Reisman said to Rav Pam, you remembered the Meshiv Davar, obviously, right? It said exactly what you said it said. So you obviously remembered it. On the way out, the guy told us that Rabbi Yankov already passed in the Shaila. So we already know, you know, we already have, you really needed to go and to look up the tshuva? And Rav Pam said, a Jew has to be erlich with himself. So that was a yesod he learned in life. That a Jew has to be honest with himself. And, you know, I think I remember, but you got to do the work and you got to make sure that you remember. You have to really look it up. You have to really see that it's really there. Now, that was the response when my Talmidim said, can you tell us stories about Rav Pam? So Rav Reisman said, no, I'm not going to tell you stories about Rav Pam. There's no use in telling stories about Rav Pam. Rav Pam was a gadol. He was here. He's no longer with us. I'm going to tell you a lesson from Rav Pam because that's what's going to make a difference. I said, this is the lesson, that a person needs to be erlich with himself. And that's the lack of erlichkeit with ourselves is what brought down Yoshio HaMelech, and that's what brought down the Beis HaMikdash, Rachman HaLitzlah.